Well, if you'll open your Bible to page 321, I want to talk to you today about something that I think we'll all be able to relate. We've all heard people say, or we've heard it said, he was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. Have you ever been at the wrong place at the wrong time? Yeah, well, I hear people say that, and I'm sure sometimes I've been at the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, it's much better to be at the right place at the right time. That's much better. As recent as this morning, in fact, I just thought about this about an hour ago. I thought, hey, that'd fit your Tuesday Bible lesson. Dottie and I were at the right place at the right time. You know, as she was going through her chemo treatments, in the midst of all that, we had a lot of other issues besides the chemo. The first thing that happened in the very beginning was our dishwasher went out. Well, I thought, you say, well, just get it fixed. Well, it was really beyond fixing. It needed a beautiful funeral service to put away. That thing had been fixed too many times, and I thought, I've just got to buy a dishwasher. Well, that's not easy. You think it's easy, but it's not easy. It wasn't for me. I started, I was trying to, deal with all this stuff. And so finally I settled on what I was going to buy. And then, of course, they have to order it. And then it was to come on a certain Monday. Well, they said, well, it didn't come in. It'll be next Monday. And that thing drug along like 3 or 4 weeks, during which time I'm having to hand wash all the dishes, which is okay. I mean, look, people. Many of us remember when we always hand washed the dishes. Yeah, I remember when we had no. But anyway, with all the other things I had going on, I did not need that to happen. Well, in the midst of all of that, Dottie's driver's license had to be renewed. Well, as you well know, many of you, when you reach age 80, you can't do that online anymore. You've got to show up. But I couldn't take her because she couldn't get around people, as she can't now very much. And so I thought, well, what do you do? So I drove out. Have any of you gone to the driver's license place out on Highway 3? Well, it's a big old nice building, but gracious me, I went out there and I got in and I told this lady, she was very, very nice. I said, look, my wife is taking chemo. And she can't come, and I just need to know what you do in a situation like this, because there's got to be such. She said, yes, you go over. She told me right where to go, and I did. And the state of Texas really has a neat deal. If you are unable physically to go actually and renew your license when you have to do that, what they will do, they send a person to your house. Now, they won't renew your license at your house, but they'll give you an ID card that looks like a license. So if you went somewhere and they wanted to see a copy of your license, now when your license expires, you can't drive anymore. Of course, I told Dottie it'd be okay. I said, surely to goodness, the city of Pasadena wouldn't put you in jail. She says, I won't. But anyway, they gave us this ID card that's good for 2 years. So a person would have a 2-year window to go back out and get it done without having to go through taking a written test. So be that as it may, Dottie decided a week ago, I want to get my driver's license renewed. I said, well, where are you going? You can't get around people. She said, well, I may just want to drive around the block. She said, I think it'll make me psychologically feel better if I have my license. So I worked this deal out. You made this appointment. And here were my instructions. This is how this long story that went too long fits what I'm trying to. They said, you be out here on Tuesday morning and you go to a certain door. Now, we had an appointment, and you be there at 7:45 a.m. in the morning, and the door will just open, and you and your wife just walk in, and she will never be around any people other than the person helping her. Well, this morning, we got there at 7:30, and we sat in the car. Line was around the building. I've never seen such. Well, at 7:45, we were at the right place at the right time, and the door just opened. And we went right in. We were at the right place at the right time. I'm glad we'd made that appointment. We'd still be there, I think. Well, it's good to be at the right place at the right time. Now, in the Bible, which is probably a much better example than that, there is a tremendous illustration of somebody being in the right place at the right time, and that person is an old prophet, Elijah. And if I want you to look with me on page 321, you're in 1 Kings. Look down in, you're in chapter 16. Look down in verse 29, and let's just read a few little verses to kind of understand where we're going here. It says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, this is a new king, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Now, to fill in a blank, there were seven kings before him. And he's worse than all of them. The one before that was a good king. This guy's bad. And he's about to get worse. It came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, and he went and served Baal and worshiped him. Now, Baal was the god of fertility and the god of the rain. Baal was like the rain god. They believed you could pray to Baal, make it rain. And, of course, the fertility god, Baal. So this is a false god. Now, he's married him a woman that is a Baal worshiper. Now, look what an influence she had on him. Well, this would be a good sermon, but I can't go there. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. So here's this guy that's supposed to be a believer in Yahweh, the true God. He marries old Jezebel, and boy, she just takes him down the wrong road. Verse 33 says, and he made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So that's a little background of this deal. Now look in chapter 17, what happens here. And Elijah, now here comes the old prophet Elijah, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except by my word. So what old Elijah did, he pronounced the judgment of God on Ahab and Israel and all the people. And he said, because you've been worshiping this false god, God is going to cause a drought. Now, we know from the book of James and from the Gospel of Luke that this drought lasted 3.5 years. 3.5 years, no rain, nothing. And so that's what God's told him to tell Ahab is going to do. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Now, the brook Cherith, it was east of the Jordan and south of Jericho. So it's way down in the desert part of that region of land. And he goes there. And this brook, of course, was one that during the rainy time would get some water. And then when the weather would get hot, that brook would just kind of dry up, as we're going to see in just a moment. But he said, that's where I want you to go. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Now look in verse 7. Then the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. A very interesting little story here. But the point is this. God told him, I want you to go to this certain place during a certain period of time, and I'm going to take care of all of your needs. You can drink the water out of the brook, and the ravens are going to bring you food during the morning time and food in the evening time. Now, it's interesting, and that is, it goes on beyond that. God tells him to go another place. The brook, of course, dries up. And then in verse number 8, look what the Bible says. The word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath and dwell there. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Now remember, God told him to go there. He said, I'm going to take care of you. Well, now here's how God did it, through this widow woman. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. See, there's a drought in the land. And all she had left was just what she had already gathered. She knew there would be no way to have any more. She says, I have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and it means and not die because of that. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. Afterwards, some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. Now look in verse 16. Very, very interesting thing. God just supernaturally provides in verse 16. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now, you know, as I look at that story, I just kind of, a week or so ago, I was just reading in 1 Kings, and I kind of ran across that story, and I thought about, now here's a guy that was in the right place at the right time. And you and I want to always be in the right place at the right time because that's where the blessings of God come from. Every day, I just want to be in the right place at the right time. And often I pray, God, would you just kind of put me somewhere when I need to be there so I can do what you'd want me to do and be what you'd want me to do. Now, there are some good life lessons in this, and I want to mention a couple of them today in the little time I have. Life lesson number one to be in the right place at the right time is to listen to what God tells you. That's so very important. Now, I know that sounds preachy, but I'm telling you it's real. Listen to what God tells you. Now, Elijah did that. If you look back in verse 3, God told him to go to the brook Cherith. If you look down in verse number 9, God has told him again to go to Zarephath. So Elijah listened to God. Now, when I think about that, this is why it is so important that we have an alone time with God every day. If we don't do that, we're not going to do very well at listening to God. And I encourage you, as I have many times, and I'm going to stick to it because I believe it's right. It would be best to be the first thing in the morning. And you know, when we try to do it other times, now we need to listen to God throughout the day. We don't just need to listen to God first thing in the morning, close our ears and say, now I'll listen to God again in the morning. But if we have, and if you have, first thing in the morning, a time to just read your Bible and think about what you read and pray about what you've read as you apply it to your life, as you feel like something you read would fit you for that day and your needs, you'll be amazed how God will put in your mind and put in your heart things that if you don't have that time alone with God, it just will not happen. Now, if you live alone, that is easy. If you live with your spouse or a family, you just have to work out a way you can have a time alone. Now, Dottie and I have, for years, we have time together when we pray. But first thing in the morning, we greet one another to see that the other one didn't die during the night. And then I go upstairs to my study, And I generally am up before she is. I just wake up earlier than she does normally. And but she has her place to be alone with God down in the living room in the front of the house. So I'm up in my study, kind of toward the back of the house, right in the middle of the house actually. But we're separated, where we both just can have our alone time to God. And I'm telling you, it is a marvelous, marvelous thing. Now, the way to listen to what God has to say to you, the primary way is His Word. And you know, I love, and I use them. So many times I fear, though, that we are led in devotional books that we read or whatever, substitute from just reading the Word of God. I love the devotion books, and I recommend them to you, and I suggest some, but it's been such a blessing to me. But I have to watch out, or I'll spend so much time reading those and thinking about those, even though they'll be Scripture-oriented, but there's just nothing that can take the place of actually reading the Word of God. And I love my Bibles that have, little study notes at the bottom of the page. But now the problem of that is, in my quiet time reading, my alone time with God reading, I don't want to read from one of those, because I begin to spend too much time reading the footnotes down here about it means this and that and yonder. I just want to read what the Word of God says. And I encourage you to do that. Now, a secondary way that we hear from God is sometimes God's Spirit just speaks to our spirit. The Bible calls that a rhema. You read about that. That word occurs in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. But it's that sometimes God will just put something in your mind that you know is not just something you concocted. Well, and that's the Spirit of God. Now, you have to guard against that. Be sure whatever this thing is jives up with this. God's never going to speak to you in His Spirit, to your spirit, contradict His written Word. And then another way I think we listen to God and hear God is through sermons and devotional books. You know what I think about that? And hear preachers, and this is what I think about. I think sermons probably at best plant seeds. It may be, if I can, when I think of that when I'm preparing something. If I can plant the seeds, like I'm not the Holy Spirit. I teach the Word of God, I can plant seeds, and then the Spirit of God has His way. You know, so many times people say to me, "Preacher, that sermon was just for me." Well, the Spirit of God just took whatever it was, and it just seemed to meet a special need. And then sometimes circumstances plant seeds. You get in a certain situation, and somehow you begin to think, and next thing you know, it's just like God is, we just need to work at listening to what God says. Number two, we need to obey what God tells us to do. That is so bad. If you want to be in the right place at the right time, you need to listen to what God says. Then when you've heard, you feel like what God said, you obey what God has told you to do. Now, Elijah did that. If you look in chapter 17, like in verse 5, it says he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he found himself at Brook Cherith. Then if you look down in verse 10, he obeyed what God told him to do. He arose and went to Zarephath. And had he not gone there, he would have not bumped into the widow woman, and things wouldn't have worked out as God had told them they would work out. Now, that said, what I'm going to do today, I'm going to violate one of my own rules at Tuesday Bible lunch. You say, "What are you talking about, your own rules?" Well, I have four or five things that when we started Tuesday Bible lunch, like when I came here, I'd never had anything like this, and the church said, "We hope you will resume Tuesday Bible lunch." Dr. Landrum started Tuesday Bible lunches, and he did it a little differently. They would do it in like maybe 6 weeks or 8 weeks. They'd take a break, and they had a president, and they it's kind of like a civic club kind of thing, and if you missed, they'd call you and check you on. I think I've told you before, you know, Buddy Jones. How many of y'all remember Buddy Jones? That's one of the finest blessings I've ever known, Buddy Jones. Well, he'd been kind of head of that deal. And they told me, they said, "If you go over to the bank where he was then and see Mr. Jones, he'll kind of help you get that thing started." I went over and told him one day. I'd been here about a month or two. I went over to Mr. Jones and said, "Mr. Jones," he said, "please call me Buddy. I never could get around. He just always looked like Mr. Jones to me. I said, I want to start Tuesday Bible lunch, and they tell me you were the kind of the head of that deal. And he said, oh, I'm so glad you're going to start it back. I said, well, good. He said, now let me say this to you. I can't help you. I thought, man, I'm in the wrong bank. He said, I just am too old for that. I'll support you. I'll come to it. But I just am not able physically. And he wasn't. And he told me how they did it. And it was one of the most discouraging things I ever listened to. I thought to myself, if I've got to do that to teach the Bible, we just won't have Tuesday Bible lunch. And I thought, well, I'm not going to do that. So I just sent out a card to everybody to ever come, said we're going to start Tuesday Bible lunch, and we don't have a roll. Now, we do have this email thing where we send the email out, but, you know, we don't check attendance and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't know how to start one of these things, so I called two pastors that had something similar and said, give me some tips on how to make this thing work. And I won't go into all that. But I'll mention it. One was, they said, decorate the table with Bibles. Said, have all the Bibles, the same Bible, so you can tell them what page number. And it, like another thing was, have a good meal. You got to have a good meal. This can't be a potluck dinner. It's got to be a good meal, okay? Then one of the other things they said was, this was interesting, don't ever ask the people to do anything. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, it'll hurt you if you do. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, don't ask them to sing. They don't want to sing. They want to come eat. And just don't ever, he said, don't get the people trying to do stuff. Just let it be what it is. Teach the Bible. And another thing was always get it out on time. We work really hard on that. We really do. Now, you can beat me up if you want to. I think I went a minute over last week, but I'm not going over a minute over today. We generally right on time. And they told me some other things. Never ask the people to do anything. And actually, the only thing I've ever asked you to do, I invite you every week on email. Hope you can come. I say maybe you can invite a friend and just come for a blessing. All we ask you to do is just show up. That's about it. I'm going to violate it today. I'm going to ask you to do something. Here's what it is. Don't get nervous. No offerings coming. Relax. A lot of Methodists are here. You're already kind of like that. Relax. We're okay. Church is fine. But here's what I want to ask you to do. For 7 mornings. Now, I know many of you are just going to let this go in one ear and out the other, but I'm telling you something that will bless you. For 7 mornings, first thing in the morning, when you get up, you go and have your alone time with God for 30 minutes. If you say, now, I don't have to. Yes, you do. Just get up a little early. You say, I can't get up early. Yes, you can. Go to bed early. You can get up early. 30 minutes. Read your Bible. Now, you're just alone with God. Just read some scripture and have some prayer time and just kind of let your soul get ready for whatever the day is. And so if you'll start that in the morning and do it through next Tuesday morning, that'd be 7 mornings. And here's what I know. I'm serious. You, if you're not already doing that, you will see how that helps you be in the right place at the right time, and the whole deal will be different. Father, I just felt led to break my own rule today. I am asking the people to do something that will bless them immeasurably. God, I mean, just that time in the morning where I just calm my soul before the day starts. And this morning was a special time. And I thank you for that. I pray that they will just consider what I'm asking them to do. And for 7 mornings, do it. And then, God, they'll say, Pastor, thank you that you ask us. Bless everyone here. Bless the needs are in this room. God, bless us as we journey on through this week. Keep us safe and help us be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.